The U.S. Army and the National Guard are trying to help their members avoid divorce. The divorce rate in the military tends to be higher than in the civilian world, and the strain on military families has only increased with repeated deployments to Afghanistan and Iraq. Elise Spiegel reports.
Last year, when Army Specialist Roger Lint was in Iraq, he thought of his wife often. Walking through the desert, he would fantasize about what it would be like to see her again.
I waited for that for a long time. That was my whole inspiration to keep going, you know?
Lint says that because he felt secure about his relationship, he was able to concentrate on the task at hand. But many of his fellow soldiers weren't as lucky. He would listen to them complain about their partners, endless harangues about whether their wives were being faithful, sufficiently understanding.
And it just ruined their whole mindset out there, you know. They were half afraid to come home. I have a few friends that wish they never had come home.
You just can't listen to what I say and, you know, you have to say no, but, or yeah, but.
Okay, so
it's
you want me
but.
Just to keep on, and when you're doing something tremendously stupid, let you go on thinking you're right until you f*** something up so massively, I have to fix it as usual.
This is one of the videotapes used in the program Building Strong and Ready Families, a 12-hour course offered to Army couples who wish to learn basic relationship skills. The video, like the course, was created by psychology professor Howard Markman of the University of Denver. Markman, who has developed other marriage education programs, including PrEP, which the Bush administration has promoted to increase marriage among low-income Americans, says that in creating the Army curriculum, he tried to adopt some of the language and culture of the military.
What happens when you have a young soldier who's part of the best fighting force in the world and can deal effectively with the enemy in combat situation, they're following ground rules for, they know exactly what to do. There's been training. And what we're trying to do in our work with the PrEP program in the Army and the military is to provide the same kind of principles, that there are ground rules for fighting in a relationship.
Military couples learn the kinds of skills that would be useful in any relationship, how to listen, how to argue. But they also learn behaviors that are useful mostly for couples who must negotiate a relationship at a long distance. For instance, while most couples tried to avoid the topic of infidelity, the program suggests that couples agree to raise the subject during weekly phone calls in order to reassure their partners.
Rather than waiting to have your partner say, hey, are you seeing anybody else or what's going on with other men and women, step to the plate and assure your partner before being asked or accused, I am not going to cheat on you. I am not going to be involved with any other men or women. I am here for you and you alone.
Another problem that confronts long-distance couples is the question of how to use their limited time for talk. For instance, do you use telephone conversations to confront issues in the relationship and risk having those interactions disintegrate into conflict? Markham says no.
If you only have a short period of time once a week and you know that you're going to have, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes over the phone, and there's a relationship issue that needs to be talked about, like a decision about one of the kids, you want to find part of the 20 minutes, let's say, that you have, let's say 5 minutes, and talk about that relationship issue, and then take the other time and make that sacred time, time that's protected from conflict and the need to deal with issues.
And then there is the problem of trauma. Markman points out we frequently feel the need to reassure partners who are under intense stress. But, he says, trying to soothe someone by offering suggestions is often counterproductive.
When our partner tries to fix it, we often hear the solution as a critique, as a judgment, as a criticism that just pushes us away.
As a marriage researcher for 25 years, Markman says there are many fundamental misconceptions about relationships. For instance,
a lot of people think that, you know, having a good marriage is based on finding your soulmate and being lucky in love, and it's really not.
He argues the real predictor of how couples fare in relationships is how they deal with their differences, skills, he says, that can be easily learned. For NPR News, this is Elise Spiegel in Washington.